at Rehoboth. Amen. You know, God is so good because the family who is with us today, Brother and Sister Drake, Minister Drake and his wife. His wife is from Boston. And the church she is from is the church that my father named this church after. Rehoboth. So how do you like that for God giving us confirmation? And the pastor of that church, the former pastor of that church, my father and he grew up together and were saved together. And she came all the way from Boston, and the pastor's wife, he's now deceased, told her, you go out and seek out the Rehoboth that's in Milwaukee. Amen. The place where God has made room. Let's give a shout out to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. I got two scriptures I want to read for my sermon today. And what first one is Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. And the second one will be Luke 23, 42. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8 says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And then turning to Luke chapter 23, verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. If you could bow your heads one more time with me. Lord, we ask you for utterance. Lord, I pray that the ground is prepared. I pray that the seed, which is your word, hallelujah, will go forth and reap a hundredfold. We thank you for an anointing in this service today. Break some yokes today, Lord God. Let some souls be freed, hallelujah. We thank you and give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I think that I'm on a numbers kick. Yesterday in the sermon, I said I was going to talk about 12 things. The topic of their service was use me. Well, today I'm going to talk about five things, five places actually, five places. And these are places that are found in the Bible that have significance, that they are symbolic of various things that happen in a person's life. And so today I'm going to talk about these five places. The title of my message is The Garden. Amen, The Garden. But the first place I want to talk about, which is mentioned in Scripture, is called the high place. Now, the high place was initially something where men and women went to worship God. It was supposed to be a place of worship, a place where God was, you were closer to God, where people went up on a mountain because they felt that they were closer to the presence of God. But after a while, the high place came to symbolize a place of idolatry, a place of witchcraft, a place of seeking and serving demons. It came to be a place where people went when they were not wanting to worship God, a place of escape. Amen. And we see this in 2 Chronicles 28:24, where the king, who the Bible says was a wicked king, Ahaz, he gathered together the vessels of the house of God. That's 2 Chronicles 28:24. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God. You see, when people don't want to serve God, they will not just try and stay away from church. They'll try and destroy someone who's going. You see, he wanted to cut up the vessels of the house of God. Didn't bother him, but his heart was corrupted. He wanted to worship the idols. He wanted to worship the false gods in the high place. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. You know, when people go bad, sometimes they just really go bad. And in every several city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto other gods and provoke to anger the Lord God of his fathers. When we're in the world, we don't realize it, but we are upon a high place. We're serving the devil. We're worshiping idols. You may say, well, I don't have nothing in my house like that. We talked about it in Sunday school. Some people, it could be their job is their idol. Some people, it could be a relationship is their idol. But whatever you put before God, you have made a high place. See, the high place was a place to worship God, but in some people's lives, it's become a place where they have fallen down to. It sounds strange to fall down to a high place, but that's what the Bible says, that Ahaz, when his heart became corrupt, he cut up the vessels of God. And in several cities of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto other gods and provoke the anger of the Lord his God. Before we come to God, we are serving doctrines of devils. We don't know it, but we are going about looking about our own self. We've made our flesh be an idol. We have so-called built a high place. But that's before we come to God. See, the high place was supposed to be a place of worship. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says when we're on our way coming to God, we find that it's the place where we have to wrestle. Before we make a commitment, we're in a spiritual warfare. You see in Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against wickedness, where? In high places. You see, that's where the devil wants to take over. Wherever God originally put his foot, the devil wants to take it over. Ahaz, when he decided he was just going to be bad, he decided to take over all the high places, which originally were places of worship, were places where people went to sing praises to God. See, the devil wants to wrestle you in high places. Amen. But once you decide to come to God, the second place you find in the Bible that always signifies a change, always signifies a new beginning, is a river. See, we talked about the high places. The second place I want to talk about is a river. We see this in Genesis 13:10. As Lot was trying to decide where he wanted to go, he looked up and he saw the River Jordan. Some people, the choices that they're making, instead of crossing Jordan to the promised land, they're crossing Jordan back out into the world. They have made a choice. They have come to a river of choice, and they have chosen the wrong thing. We see here in Genesis 13:10 that Lot lifted up his eyes. We talked about that. Looking at things through natural eyes will always get you in trouble. You will always be facing the wrong way. Instead of facing towards the promised land, he looked to the well-watered plains of Jordan. The Bible says, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It looked so good. It looked so beautiful, but it was the wrong direction. Rivers in the Bible always symbolize a crossing, a changing over. You may be coming right now to a river, a place of decision in your life. What are you going to do? Are you looking the wrong way? Are you looking at the world and how beautiful things are and how you used to have it so good? You better turn around. David said in the Psalms, I will look unto the hills. Because it was the hills, he said before, used to be a place of worship. Amen. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, listen to the reference. It looks as good. It looked as good, even as the garden of the Lord. See, the devil will make the world look as good as what God had promised you. He will make it look such a good deal, but you're facing the wrong way. When you come to a river in life, I hope that not like Lot, you'll be facing the right way. Because number two, you'll be facing some choices. There's a river you got to cross, but make sure you're going to cross it the right way. It's always a place of choice. See, Joshua and the children of Israel, when they came to the River Jordan, they were facing the right way. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 11, it says, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going to pass before you. If you've come to that river of choice and you have decided that you're going to give your all to God, you're going to love him. What was the song we sang? More than anything. When you're facing that river of Jordan, hopefully you're facing the right way. You start to follow the Ark of the Covenant. God told Joshua, tell the people that there, when they see the Ark, start to cross over. You start to follow because this is a way you have never been. When you give your heart to the Lord, it's a way you have never been before. You have to start to follow Jesus, looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith. It says in Joshua 3:11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Jumping down to verse 13. And it came to pass. You see, when you have decided to follow God, he's going to set your feet in dry places. The river that you thought you couldn't cross, when you let the Lord go before you, it's going to get dry. Because as soon, it says, as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. You know what? They passed over on dry ground. When you have made the right decision for the Lord, you can get a peace in your heart that passes human understanding. God can give you rest even in a turbulent river. Amen. Amen. See, we got to leave the high places. When we come to that river of decision, when you have to decide whom you're going to serve, make sure you're facing the right way. Don't look at how beautiful it is. It said that when Lot looked at the plains of Jordan, he thought it looked as good as the garden of God. Amen. Satan is very tricky. He will deceive you. Amen. The third place I'm going to talk about today is the wilderness. Once you have crossed that Jordan, sometimes you're going to have to go through a wilderness experience. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea, they went directly into a wilderness experience. You may wonder, well, I've decided to serve God and yet now I'm in a desert place. There's no water, there's no food, there's no sustenance. But if it's what the direction that God wants you to be in, amen. If that's the way the cloud is going by day and the pillar of fire by night, then all you have to do is keep following, amen. Amen. There's going to be a wilderness experience. We see in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1 that even Jesus, as soon as he came out of the water, he went into a wilderness experience. So we've talked about a river, amen. I've talked about a high place. Then comes the wilderness experience. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. You know, it's amazing that you will be led sometimes. You will be led into a wilderness experience. And you wonder, Lord, where are you? I don't see any help. I'm alone. But there is a purpose. There is a testing. There is a trial that you have to go through so that you can gain some experience, some strength. Hallelujah. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan. See, he was going the right way. And was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I used to read that verse many years ago and I said, well, Lord, why? Why would we be led into a wilderness experience? Because God wants to prove us. God wants to weed out those who are not going to really serve him. Because if you are determined and made up in your mind, you're going to get through the wilderness experience. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And then when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. Yeah, there's going to be some times you may get hungry. Maybe physically, maybe spiritually, maybe financially. But if it's being led by the Spirit, all you have to do is hold on. The wilderness will come to an end. The devil will have to leave you if you will just resist him. Hallelujah. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Hallelujah, from you. Amen. I'm going real fast today. We got the high places. We got the river of destiny where you had to make a choice. Then you have to go into a wilderness experience. But one of my favorites is the well of meeting. Amen. This church is named after a well. And we see in the Bible there's something spectacular and special about wells. Amen. There's some special things that happen at wells. Genesis 16, the first time a well is mentioned in the Bible, poor Hagar is running away from Sarah and Abraham. And she's taken little baby Ishmael and she's gone into the wilderness. She's gone into a wilderness experience and she's just wondering what's going to happen. But you know what? God has a way of providing a well. Not just any well, but this well was special. This well wasn't just any well. It's got a special name. It's called Beer Lahai Roy, the well of living water. And the angel said, listen, I know that you don't like serving Sarah. I know that your life didn't go the way you thought it would do. And you've had to run away. But listen, you go back. I'm going to provide you a well of living water. And right there, the angel of the Lord met Hagar. You may be in a wilderness experience, but the angel of the Lord can meet you and provide a well of living water. Amen? Amen. Genesis 16:11. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Isn't that a great thing when the Lord can tell you, I've heard your cries, I've heard your prayer, I'm going to provide you a well of living water. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say what the name of this well is. Now, Beer in Hebrew means well, and Lahairoi means the well of living water. And it says it's between Kadesh and Bered. And Kadesh in Hebrew means holy. That's where you will find the well of living water, at a holy place. You can't find it out in the world. You can't find it out in the high place. But when the well of living water is, it's going to be in a valley. Because you know what water does? It flows down. It flows down. You may be in a valley right now. You may be in a wilderness experience, but you start looking for the well of living water. Amen. It's a special place. We see in the Old Testament that two of the patriarchs met their wives right by the well of living water. Genesis 24:62. Isaac was sad. He was depressed because his mother had just died. But you know, Eliezer, Abraham's servant, which means comforter, had gone to get his bride. The comforter had gone to get his bride. And the Bible tells us the good thing about Isaac, who is a type of Christ, you know where he was living? He was living by the well of living water. It says in Genesis 24:62, and Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi. I don't know what this well looked like, but it's a strange well. It shows up all the time, sometimes in the desert by Hagar, and now sometimes by Isaac. I think this well kind of moved around, because if you have the living water with you, hallelujah, you don't need to go to any other's place, because the Bible says goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell the well of living water. Amen. Isaac came from the well, Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were come. You want anything from God, you stay by the well of living water. If you want a wife, you do like Isaac. You dwell by the well of living water. You want a husband, you do like Isaac. You dwell by the well of living water. You want blessing, you want rivers of living water to flow out of your belly, you stay by the well of living water. Jacob meets Rachel by a well. Genesis 29, verse 2. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. That's why I like the name of this church. Amen. It's named after a well. That means that this is a meeting place for God's blessing. Lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. He comes up to this well and he sees that there are three flocks of sheep, but nobody's getting any water. Jumping down to verse 6, Genesis 29. And he said unto them, is he well? Speaking about his uncle. And they said, he is well. And behold, see, look who's coming. As you're by the well, look who's coming. Rachel is coming. You see, God puts us in a place sometimes where we just have to wait patiently. Jacob could have moved on, but he waited by that well until he saw his future wife. Amen. We'll see that there's more to this. Genesis 25:11. It came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. And where did Isaac live? By the well of living water. Amen. Some people, all they want is a little sip and then they're gone. But if you want to be blessed, you have to dwell. You have to dwell. That means to stay still. Stay in the same place that God can refresh you, that he can pour out his blessing on you. Leave the high place. Make the decision at the river. But you better stay at the well of living water. Amen. I think that's number three. I'm trying to hurry this along here. Amen. Now, I'm going to go to one other place here. You'll have to ask me what the other one is. I'm just going to go to the last place here. And that is the garden. We've talked about a high place. We've talked about a river. Talked about a well. And I want to talk about a garden. Because here's something interesting that you may have missed. All those places have their proper symbolic goodness. When used properly, the high place should have been a place of worship. The river is a place of change. Jesus went down into the river and he came up, and the Bible says that the Spirit appeared as a dove. It is a place of change. It's a symbol of baptism, a place of decision. Those are all good places. And a well is a great place. Jesus met the Samaritan woman by the well, and he said, if you just knew who it was. See, God can meet you today right here. But many of us don't know and recognize that he's speaking to us. He told that lady, if you just knew who it was speaking to you, out of your belly shall flow what? Here's that well again. But you know, there's a place that is better than all of those places. I'm going to prove it to you in the scripture today. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. We've been talking about fruit. We've been talking about seed. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there, not at a high place, not at a river, not even at a well, but there in the garden is where he really wants you to be. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Now there was rivers running through it. Amen. There was fruit there. There was a place of beauty. But it was there that God really wants you to be, is the garden. And I'm going to show you this. Genesis chapter 2, 9. See, the garden is just not just a part of the thing. It's the whole thing because it's also a meeting place. It was there that the voice of the Lord communed with Adam and Eve. It fulfills all four of those places. It's got the river. It's got the voice of God. It's the meeting place. It's also a place of sustenance. It's also a place of sustenance. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow everything that man needed. I've often said, what did Adam and Eve pray about? Well, Lord, all I can do is thank you. You've provided beautifully. Our clothes are Holy Spirit. Our food is what you planted. We have nothing but praise. Adam's prayer could only have been thanksgiving. He had nothing to complain about. You see, really where God wants you is the place that fulfills all of those, the garden. The garden has many, 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 many benefits. It said that God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. It was a place they didn't have to go to pick and save. They didn't have to worry about Walgreens and picking up pharmacies because all they had to do was look up and pick whatever. Just like what happened yesterday. God provided some fruit. Amen. That confirmed what I was going to preach today. Amen. We see that the garden is the fulfillment of the high place. It's a meeting place for God. It's got some rivers. Amen. It's a place where you can meet God. Hallelujah. It's a place of sustenance. And here's the most important place thing about it. It's a place of strength. See, why I came up with this message is Pastor Melton put something in Facebook and it hit me. He said, the garden is where you're going to go when you don't want to do what you're supposed to do. The garden is where you have to go when you don't want to do some things that you're supposed to. Or maybe there's some things you're doing that you need to quit. The garden is where you're going to have to go. Let me prove that to you. Matthew 26, 39. Jesus led them from the upper room. Where did he lead them into? The last place he led them to before his death was where? I don't think anyone heard me. Where did he lead them? Amen. The Bible said that they started to sing hymns of worship. They started to give God glory because it was the garden is where we're headed to. If you will endure to the end, the Bible says in Revelation that we get to be where the tree of life is. Amen. We're not going back to a well. We're not going back to a high place. We are going back where God put us in the first place, which is the garden. But let me prove something to you that you need a garden experience now. When you have something you don't want to do, when there's something that you should be doing that you're not doing, the garden is where you need to be. Look at this. Matthew 26, 39. Even Jesus went into the garden when there was something he didn't want to have to do. His flesh did not want to have to go through the cross. Your flesh may not want to do some things that God is commanding you to do. You're fighting it. You need to find a garden place. You need to find the place where you can meet God, where it has also got a river, where it's a place of decision, where it's a place where you're going to worship. It's a place where you can get close to God because we see in Matthew 26, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. Even Jesus, his flesh, needed a garden experience, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. That's why I'm telling you, we need to be in the garden. It's all very well to make a decision, but there's a lot of things we need to be doing that we don't want to do. We need to get some strength. We need to fall on our knees and start telling God, Lord, give me some strength. I don't want to do this, but nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. It's the garden where you need to start talking to God. See, our forebears, Adam and Eve, they messed up their garden experience. Because when God would have come by, they were found hiding. We don't want to be hiding, found hiding, but we want to fall on our knees and cry out, Lord, have mercy upon me. There's some things I need to change in my life, Lord. Give me some strength. There's some things I'm doing that I need to quit doing. There's some things that I really should be doing that I'm not doing. And the garden prayer is where you can get strength to do it. If you could stand with me today, amen. There's a high place. It was a good place before man corrupted it. There's a river of decision in our lives where we have to decide what we're going to do. Amen. There's a river of decision that we have to decide what we're going to do. There's a well of meeting where we meet the Savior for the first time. And that's a beautiful experience. Amen. That's a beautiful experience. But the place that he wants us to really be in is the garden. There's a wilderness that we have to go through sometimes. But the last place that Jesus took them before his arrest was the garden. You ever wonder why? Why he chose the garden? It was also the first place that the first person saw him after his resurrection. He wants to meet you today in a garden experience.